You're listening to Community Radio, CKMS Radio Waterloo, 102.7, 946 on the Rogers Digital Network.
Morning, Waterloo Region. Happy Monday to you. It's November the 2nd. Snow is on the ground and we're only halfway through fall. We're in the middle of our fundraising season here. So if you enjoy CKMS Community Connections, if you enjoy community radio, if you enjoy what we offer here on Radio Waterloo, head out to the internet web address radiowaterloo.ca/give and give a donation. We depend on our community members to support the radio station so that we can bring you shows like CKMS Community Connection, so that we can call out and interview band members, so that we can have people come into the studio and do a live in-studio performance. Those are always fun. But it requires your support. So have a look at radiowaterloo.ca/give. Look at the total that's on the board there. We're about $530 or so. That's less than a quarter of where we want to be by the end of the week. So provide a donation, and I'll get out of your hair and let you listen to some music by Tomaco. We'll be talking to Denny from Tomaco in just a few minutes, as soon as I get him on the phone. Tomaco, this is Shady Nasty. By Tomaco, a Toronto-based band. And I have Denny on the phone from Tomaco. Good morning, Denny. Welcome to CKMS Community Connections.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. You are sure, or Tomaco is sure, a high-energy band. What sort of music would you call what it is you play? I mean, it isn't metal music. It isn't your standard rock and roll. What have you got there?
I like to call it like funk rock or rock and roll with some funk. I like this change up between those two. It's really fun to keep the energy really high for audiences when we had live shows.
Yeah, that's got to be a bit of a crimp there. I mean, you've got probably a good dancing music. I think I can see a whole crowd just jumping and enjoying themselves on the dance floor.
Yeah, that's definitely the goal, and it's really great when we're able to pull that off at a show and had some really fun times where you get the whole audience going from dancing to moshing, which is the fun of going from like harder rock to funk. You can kind of go, have a bit of variety in what the audience is doing.
Yeah. So is it really funk that you're playing there, or is it some variation?
We kind of, it goes song by song. Like, we'll have some songs that are very funky, like almost James Brown-esque.
Oh.
In terms of like influence, and then we have some more like more traditional like classic rock influence kind of songs. So it's definitely a bit older, but we are trying to incorporate more modern influences and some other bands, some indie bands, and like I guess, Black Keys or White Stripes, that kind of thing.
Okay, not bands that I'm familiar with. Funk is not sort of the go-to music that I would listen to. More into electronica and jazz and things of a slightly slower and mellower nature.
Ah, I understand. Actually, funk has sort of led me into listening to a bit more jazz lately, just because funk got me into like horns, saxophones, and whatnot, and as a result, just kind of led me into jazz and funk. Kind of start getting a bit of fusion there. You can start hearing some influences and lines in funk songs that are jazz inspired, and then there are some jazzy artists who have a bit more of a funky groove and a bit faster pace, which sort of got me into jazz.
It's definitely not the kind of thing you hear in a rock band. You know, saxophone is not your typical rock instrument.
Yeah, it's definitely part of what encouraged me to put it in there, just to sort of stand out a bit. I really liked horns and wanted to stand out more than just the traditional four-piece drums, bass, guitar, vocals. And it was a really fun addition, although it can be a bit heavy bringing a guitar and a saxophone rig with me around, which is not a problem anymore as much since we're now doing shows.
Yeah, you just have them all lined up in the back there and reach for whatever instrument you need to play
exactly.
on. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It can't be any worse than a drummer, though. You know, a drummer has to carry a whole bunch of kit. So
yeah, that's definitely, if you're the drummer who has to provide the kit, as indie bands, we usually work together to provide backline, which is all the equipment we'll be using for the show. So one band may bring the drums, and another band may bring amplifiers. So if you're the drummer from a band who isn't bringing drums, all you need is your cymbals, stuff that you might break, and your sticks, and that's not too bad.
Okay. And stuff like drum kit setup is pretty standard across all drummers.
Yeah, the only time that ever gets weird is some left-handed versus right-handed drummers. They might flip some parts of the drums, but that's something you can change while everybody else is plugging in.
Okay. Yeah. A nice local band called Parallax Error, where Sam Hill, the drummer, has a huge lineup, you know, 20 items in his drum kit. That's not not the kind of thing that you can easily drag from venue to venue.
Definitely not. That would be a treat. Like a lot of the time, you'll end up almost like a stripped down jazz kit where you only even have one tom and just like the bass for the kick drum and snare and a couple cymbals and that's it.
So it requires a bit of versatility when you're playing venues, a shared venue.
Exactly. You have to be, as an indie band, you're kind of at the whim of what the venue has, whether you're the drummer or guitar player and that kind of thing. So you just have to adapt and try to make your sound the best it can be with what you have.
Right, right. So you've got a huge lineup. I mean, I was looking at the setup for, just a picture you've got on your website there. You know, we've got, seven people.
Oh, yeah.
Seven people on the screen there, on the picture. So you want to introduce the band?
Sure, yeah. If currently our lineup, I think that picture might be, I think we've changed the drummer since then, but currently our drummer, his name is Jesse, and he's from Waterloo. I think we might have some more recent pictures with him, the full seven-person setup. Yeah, he's actually our only member from Waterloo, so he's from your part of the province, and he's been playing with us for just over a year, around a year now. Unfortunately, he only had a few shows before everything kind of locked down, but we're still rehearsing with them.
Okay.
We have Nate on guitar, and we have Jesse Hayden on bass, and then we've got two backup singers. They are Sappho and Cassie. And then finally, we have Charlie Ziegler, who's on keys. That's like our big show lineup. Like when we have a special show and everybody's available, we kind of bring all these people out.
It's got to be a big show, all right.
Yeah. It's got to be a big enough stage. Like there are some times where it's like going to be an interesting show, but we just don't do it because there's no room for all the members on stage.
And you've had some pretty big venues in the past, from what I was reading there.
Yeah, we've been fortunate enough to play, I guess Lee's Palace would be our largest venue. We've played the Rivoli and the Monarch Tavern and also Horseshoe Tavern. And those are kind of venues where we bring the full band.
Huge reputation.
Yeah, it helps get people out because they recognize the name of the venue and they're like, oh, I know that place, and so they're a bit more excited to come out when they hear you're playing at a venue where there's a bit of history behind it.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. What sort of following do you get? I mean, how long have you been together?
So the band has been playing since, I guess it'll be almost 4 years. So it's 2016. We started planning our first show at a cool venue that was, it's gone now. It's called The Central. It used to be right beside, right over at Bathurst and Bloor, where the they've done all the construction and everything, getting rid of Honest Ed's. Yeah, yeah, so it was right in there. And that was a really cool venue. We played there. And now, with that kind of members have come and gone, but we've still been playing for about 4 years altogether. And the following is kind of, it's shifted. It's like the numbers have sort of stayed steady because we've shifted from friends and family more to some fans where, like, they come out to your shows, but, you know, if you're playing every month for 4 years, it's going to slow down a little bit. So you have to sort of replace the friends and family with people who are really into keen to coming to shows more and more.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess that's all kind of shut down now. Have you been switching to online?
Well, we did do one online stream back. It was October 8th was our first setup. It's a bit more intense to try to get like a whole band set up for streaming. It's easier to do just kind of solo stuff for fun. But we did. It was just the four of us in a living room, which was really cool. But we were very fortunate to do the stream, and it was with some great, like, we had a couple cameras and lights and everything, so we were really fortunate to be able to do it. I think the guys that we had were, let me see if I can find it, but it was on Twitch, which is the best live streaming site, so I would suggest using that one. They have been getting in trouble for live music, though, unfortunately, but Facebook was also having the same issue.
Yeah. Getting in trouble with copyright issues and the like?
Yeah, copyright issues. But their guys who ran it were fortunate. They're called Nortown Music, and they were kind of doing this to keep the indie music scene live, and they were telling me that, Facebook, like, they will shut down your stream after a few minutes of the music because they're afraid of copyright people coming. So they first asked us not to do any covers.
Yeah.
We're like, that's okay. But Twitch was a bit easier for them to uses a
right platform. We ran into that problem when we were simulcasting on an internet stream, video stream, and YouTube and Facebook will blank out the audio or just shut the stream down altogether. So entirely familiar with that idea.
Yeah, it's definitely been something that's been really coming more and more over the past years. They're just getting much better at finding and shutting down stuff for copyright with music.
But the problem is, when you're doing it, this is your music that you're playing. You have the rights to perform your own music.
Yeah, definitely. It's surprising that they would even, you know, do it for just live original music. They're just trying not to risk, I guess. Yeah. Or I'm not even sure why they're doing it, to shut down like that.
Algorithms, you know, software. Blame it all on the software.
Yeah, there's no human monitoring. It's just a computer just following its, you know, programming.
Yeah. Something you'd like to play?
One of our songs?
Yeah, one of your songs.
Sure.
I've got some stuff from the Vagabond album, which is the one that you released, earlier this year? Last year, actually, 2019.
Yeah, last year. So about a year ago, or a little bit more than a year ago. But yeah, back in September 2019. Mm-hmm. So our last one, working on the new one now. From that one, I guess, if you like some more upbeat music, the single we have a music video for is Mr. Twister.
Mr. Twister, that's the one that's on the front page of YouTube. It's, I think, the one that displays when you're going to the Tamako website.
Yeah, I did. I built the website myself back when I thought we were going to do festivals this summer. I wanted to have at least somewhat reasonable-looking website, so I built it myself before applying. But that didn't pan out either.
So I'm going to try to play this from the YouTube feed, and then we'll see whether or not I can patch that into our own video stream. We'll see whether or not we get cut off this time.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Yeah. Let me know.
This is Mr. Twister from Tamako.
Mm-hmm.
Sure is funky. That's Mr. Twister by Tomako. I've got Denny from Tomako on the phone. Good morning, Denny.
Good morning.
That looked Thank like you. A really interesting video. The bits that we were able to see, at any rate, were cool. The room is draped with the Twister game floor pads.
Yeah.
So give me a bit of background there. Tell me what was going on there.
So all I did was I just moved all the furniture out of my living room and went around trying to hunt down some Twister games through, like, creating websites and whatnot for the Mr. Twister music video. I just wanted something that was kind of a cool theme and got, like, matching jackets for the band and it's kind of tied into the name of the song, Mr. Twister. The whole idea of the song is sort of just, like, about just how entertainers kind of distract you from what's kind of going on in the world. So the twisting kind of like all the facts and everything around, and Twister is the game where you twist, so I thought it was a good fit.
It is a good fit, and it's a really unique look to that. You know, lots of bright colors, lots of action on the screen, so you know, is that what the live shows are like?
Yeah, definitely try to keep it very lively, lots of bright colors. We always, we used to dress up pretty funny for some of our shows. We just kind of think of some fun themes. Now we have like our cool matching jean jackets that we wear for a lot of them, or change it up sometimes for fun. But we did that for the like live stream we did back in October, which is last month already. Wow.
Yeah, I know. It is in beginning of November here, you know, halfway through fall and snow on the ground.
Yeah.
We can use a little bit of high energy music.
Yeah, it's definitely really handy with just kind of when you're trying to clean up your house or, you know, get going in the day. It's like throwing some high energy stuff to get me going and then, you know, slow it down a little bit to unwind.
Who needs coffee?
Exactly.
What made you choose this particular genre of music to play?
It's always what I've been really into. I started in high school mainly being kind of a classic rock guy, and then I got more into funk, like through Parliament Funkadelic and James Brown and like even Earth, Wind, and Fire and Sly and the Family Stone. As I got into university and started writing my own tunes, I just gave it a little bit of a unique twist. So it wasn't this just another classic rock or wannabe classic rock band right from the 2000s, and that way it gave it a little bit more of a different twist, yeah, doing the keyboards and stuff, yeah.
But funk is hardly mainstream.
Yeah, I mean, it used to be a bit more mainstream back in, like, the 70s and 80s with, like, Rick James.
Yeah.
You hear a lot of that. And even Prince was pretty funky. And James Brown had, like, a whole huge thing way back. But, yeah, it had a bit of a resurgence back when I was actually getting into it. With, you might remember Daft Punk did that sort of Get Happy was an entirely, like, funk record. I think they had Nile Rodgers, if I remember, on that record as a guitar player.
Mm-hmm.
He did like the Chic back in the day. They had, and then there was Uptown Funk with like Bruno Mars. So yeah, it was kind of doing a bit of a revival. You're hearing a lot of, and hip hop was all the original samples were all pulled from James Brown and Parliament Funkadelic.
Exactly.
So there's a lot of funk there, even if it's not like a well-known genre.
Right. We've got we used to have a whole show in the evening, funk pulled from our digital music library. So this will be a good addition to that. Although I don't think I've actually gone and labeled your music as funk in our digital music library. It's actually just sitting there as rock or alternative rock. So, would funk be more appropriate?
I say rock for, I'd say maybe two-thirds of the songs are more in the rock genre, and then a third of the songs are more funky. So some kind of straddle line between both, where there's some funky parts and some rock parts. So it's just a really good positive genre. It really has really cheers me up a lot, which is always a good thing. Yeah.
Going to have to go through the entire discography again and, just relabel the ones that are most definitely funk.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I remember there's even some sites where you can't even label your music as funk. I don't remember which site it was, but when I was uploading all the EP work, I couldn't even find funk as a genre on one of them.
Huh.
Yeah, it was kind of, that's unfortunate, but it's a good genre that I really thoroughly enjoy.
Yeah. And you came by your musical talent through some schooling.
Yeah, I basically started mostly with just guitar lessons as a kid. With like my dad would take me every weekend, and then I did. I had a lot of good times with just some high school guitar classes and practicing on my own mainly. I was very tempted to go to university for it, but it's a very scary jump to sort of put all your eggs in that basket, especially as like a teenager coming out of high school. To just go full out into music, especially I wasn't nearly as into jazz as I am now at that time.
Right, and do you find that to be a good alternative, you know, a side venue in case the funk doesn't work out?
We're going to university and like having other positions, definitely it's just makes you feel a little bit more secure than going all in with music.
I've heard other people say, you know, that they're musicians, they've got this other job, this day job, just in case the music doesn't work out. But in your case, maybe it's the other way around. You've got the day job, and you've got the music stuff to fall back on in case the day job doesn't work out.
Well, that kind of happened with COVID for me. It was once we went to lockdown, like a lot of people were losing their minds. But for me, it was like finally I have all the time in the world to practice, and for most of the weeks I definitely had a good time just hiding away in my house, cranking in hours of guitar and saxophone and vocals and whatnot.
Exactly. So, somebody say never waste a good pandemic, so there you go.
Yeah, I mean, I still feel like I could have done more, but and I'm always like there's always something more I could have done on it, so it's a little being built the top of myself there.
Oh, you got something else you want to play? I've got your other stuff, too. I found some other things, I think, on SoundCloud, some stuff that dates back to, I think, 2018, Heartbreak While I Fall.
Yeah, so that would be, I think there's two EPs we did. There's the one we were just listening to, Vagabond, and then there's her self-titled one. If you want to listen to something a little bit slower, one of the crowd or fan favorite songs is a song called Together. I would recommend that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's have a listen to that. And then when we come back, I'm going to give a quick pitch for our fundraiser. So perhaps you can join into that.
For sure.
Just to get people moving and shaking and donating while they're doing it, to go to radiowaterloo.ca/give while we all listen to Together, Together.
Together someday, someday, someday.
big heavy sigh at the end of that. That's Tomako and a song called Together. I think, Denny, that's from a previous EP, not the current one.
Yes, that was our first EP back in 2018.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun. I did the whole EP at Seneca College when I was in the independent music production program.
Aha. So,
yeah.
And you found that to be a helpful thing in furthering your career?
Definitely. It was a good opportunity to sort of fast forward on a lot of lessons and things you would learn the hard way by doing it over years. Is sort of like a crash course in how to do music as an independent artist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got to meet some great people there too, and really sort of that was the first step in my transition to doing music in a serious way.
Yeah. How do you find revenues? I see that you're on Spotify, you're on some of the other streaming sites. Do you find revenues from performing are enough to keep you in pizza and beer?
No way. It's all work. The biggest revenue from music before the pandemic was live shows and merch. Streaming was only a few dollars here and there, mainly from Bandcamp, where I was noticing where we get a few dollars for people actually putting money into it. But for like streams, you need thousands and thousands, or I guess say millions of streams on the major sites like Spotify and YouTube to really make any income. Although the music we record was always more of a, I want to have something out there so we've got an idea of what our live shows would be, and the live shows were where we really killed it. And this pandemic has sort of given me the opportunity to kind of flip it and really focus entirely on the recording to make the best possible recording out there. Right. We're not juggling booking shows and prepare and rehearsing at the same time as trying to write and record.
Right. I was trying to lead into a nice segue there for our own fundraising efforts. In our case, the pandemic has been somewhat devastating to the radio station as well. You know, we're dependent, for the most part, on programmer fees. It's community radio, so anybody who has an interest in putting some kind of radio show on the air where you know, you've got a hobby or some interest in music or an idea for news or actuality reporting or something like this, CKMS Community Connections. Programmers come to the station and pay a programmer fee of $30 a month for an hour a week show in prime time, and $15 a month for an hour a week show in the off-peak hours. But with the COVID, you know, people have had reductions in their own income, and for them, for some of them, the ability to participate in community radio is just not there anymore. And so that's one of the first sources of revenue for us to go. Also, we had to cancel our spring fundraising drive. And so, you know, we are currently in survival mode. And in order to really survive, we need some donations from our community. Right now, our leaderboard looks like it's set at about $563.37. It's a live updating screen on our website. So if somebody were to go to radiowaterloo.ca/give and make a pledge for a donation there, you'll see that that leaderboard number increase by whatever amount you you choose to donate. And from there, you'll go to the actual donation website where you click on a button and provide your authentication to a credit card or PayPal or whatever to actually send the money to us. But I would love to see that progress meter go up. You know, for as little as $37.63, we'll hit the $600 mark, and that will be a great level to achieve at the end of Community Connections today. So I urge everybody who's listening, who's enjoying the show, who likes the music of Tomako and all the other artists that we've played in the past, go to radiowaterloo.ca/give, make a donation, and keep us on the air. Thank you for letting me do that, Denny. Appreciate it.
Oh, no, awesome. I appreciate you having me on here, and it's important to have stations like yours around for bands to get the word out of these new bands.
Yeah. If any band is out there listening, you know, send us your new music. Go to radiowaterloo.ca/how-to/submit, and that'll tell you how you can get
music to us, one of the easiest ways is to just send us an email, office@radiowaterloo.ca. The entire music committee looks at that email. We get hundreds of messages a day, you know, some from international locations, you know, lots of stuff from Germany, the UK, from South Africa, all kinds of places. But I concentrate on the local bands, you know, Canadian bands, KW bands, and hopefully get you coming into the studio, you know, and some people who've contacted us are just thrilled to be on the radio. You know, it's the first time for them. A lot of new up-and-coming bands are first broken out on community radio and campus radio both. So, you know, community radio serves a really valuable purpose in the community to help artists get out there. So, radiowaterloo.ca/give, keep us on the air. And then send us email at office@radiowaterloo.ca if you've got something that you want to contribute, whether it's music, spoken word, poetry, or anything else that you'd like to get on the radio. You're not just active in music, are you? You've got some social justice interests as well.
Yeah, for sure. I always feel like I could do more, and it's a really hard juggling act when you're really focusing on one thing or the other. There's so many great, you know, causes and things going on. I've always been a bit more on the environmental side is what my main focus always was. And yeah.
You're one of the only musicians to come into the studio who's actually outed me as a Green Party member. So
I do a little bit of research.
That was kind of cool to hear, actually. You know, it's good that, you know, from my perspective, that there is political interest from musicians, because you see that fairly regularly. You know, you see fairly large names coming up to promote some social justice cause. You know, actors, musicians, bands coming out to play at political venues, political rallies, and bands who don't want to have their music associated with certain other political parties. So where does Tamako stand on that?
Well, yeah, I would somewhat understand where, you know, there's some people I wouldn't want my music being associated with or played with. I would definitely was hoping or like to use my music as a platform or as a way to be able to get my voice heard about issues that I find important, whether it's climate change or, you know, pollution, recycling, and all these kind of environmental issues. It's the more successful and the band, the greater reach I can have with the voice, and hopefully have some positive impacts on these very important issues.
Sort of slide it in by the side, you know. Have you got anything on in your repertoire that's of a social justice bent?
Specifically, Mr. Twister is somewhat of a politically motivated song.
Yeah.
There's more references to different ideas and social justice issues in songs. While I Fall is a good example. It's a song sort of about, it's about not just me, but also, you know, other people who are kind of, you know, struggling at a certain point. And, you know, it feels like sometimes people just like to watch other people crash and burn, whether it's the environment you know, poverty and, you know, and it's very frustrating not to lend a hand out and help out.
Yeah. It's wonderful to see, you know, publicly visible engagement by bands like Tamako, by you, by you know, all those other artists that have come to the front to promote or to advocate for a particular issue. Canadian musician Jan Arden, for example, has contacted our executive producer, Jennifer Strong, who also runs the Blue Sky Horse radio program. And Jennifer will be having an interview with Jan Arden in an upcoming episode of Blue Sky Horse Radio. So, you know, that sort of engagement by a big-name, well-known artist like Jan Arden coming on community radio to advocate for a social cause is just wonderful.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, some of the best things I felt like we've done are we did some live benefit shows. So we did one for cancer research. Mm-hmm. We did a Lights Out for Earth Hour, and we've done another one where it was for Music Heals. It's like a charity for funding, you know, music therapy and those kind of and those kind of initiatives. Yeah.
Yeah.
That feels great to do those things and love to do more, hopefully, as things, live shows return.
Yeah. There's a couple of social events from the local neighborhood community, Festival of Neighborhoods community. They're doing a mosaic of neighborhoods online, upcoming on, I think, Sunday the 15th of November. Don't know if they have any music planned for that. There's an agenda on their website. I should probably have a look at that.
But, oh, yeah.
That's, I think, a place where some online engagement could happen as well.
Definitely have to check it out. Yeah.
So we have another listen. How about we have a quick listen to While I Fall?
Sure.
And then we can actually hear what it's all about. While I Fall by Tomako. Here on CKMS Community Connections. By Tomako from Toronto, and on the phone with us, Denny from the band.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Tomako doesn't sound like a regular name. Can you give us a bit of background there?
Sure, yeah. It came about just, I was waiting to go over to a band practice and was watching an episode of Simpsons, one of the good old ones, and there's an episode about some GMOs, and the GMO they made in that was a tomato-tobacco cross called Tomaco, and I thought it's a perfect fit, catchy, short, and addictive, kind of going for that band. A little bit of that, you know, GMO political stuff in there for fun.
Yeah, a little bit of social awareness there too. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Gets it all in there.
Yeah.
You're fairly prominent on the social media sites. I think you've got, you've got your own website, tomaco.ca.
Yeah. Got about several hundred followers on some other sites, yeah. Got to stay engaged sometimes. A little bit tough pumping out content with the coronavirus, so usually shows and rehearsals were the main thing, but working on sort of building up a big stockpile of stuff for us to kind of roll out as the, you know, year goes on.
Yeah, so you've got the social media sites for Instagram, just scrolling through some Instagram stuff here now.
Yeah, just at Tomaco Band. We've got Instagram, Facebook.
Yeah,
I do have a Twitter, but I don't really use it as much. I'm always somewhat cautious on what I want to put up online, what I want to post, whatnot. So besides just band stuff, and we got Bandcamp, we have SoundCloud. What else do we have?
Spotify in there too, yeah.
Yep, Spotify.
I think I saw some references to Apple Music and maybe Google Music in there too.
Amazon, yeah. There's some great, fortunately for indie musicians, some great ways to get your music distributed. So a couple of them are like DistroKid and CD Baby, and you can get your music basically for a small relative fee just on all the major platforms.
Yeah. So there's a bit of an upfront cost there to actually participate in these online social media things. So do you end up recovering the cost or not so much?
Maybe for the attendance of the shows and some merch, probably kind of evened out the cost, but not directly through streaming or whatnot. Yeah, quite a number of streams before you'll get, you know, $50 even.
Yeah. Well, definitely, I've already got them online, actually. The all your social media links on the CKMS Community Connections website, radiowaterloo.ca/CCC, where currently the YouTube live video is streaming as well in the bonus footage section, so you'll be able to connect with Tomaco in all the different ways possible at radiowaterloo.ca/CCC. What have you got in the way of upcoming stuff? I mean, in-person shows are pretty much canceled.
Yeah, so they're canceled for now. Right now we have sort of two projects in the works. So the main project that is in full steam is working on a new EP.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is going to be a bit different, much more polished than the first two. We're taking a lot more time, making a lot more efforts. I've hired a producer from one of my other favorite local bands. His name is Phil Tessis, and he is from After Funk. They've definitely played in Waterloo a few times. They're kind of play all over the place. And so just I sort of learned from the first two EPs different lessons, what I wanted to learn, and one, I just thought, you know, every good writer has, like, an editor, so sort of acting as, like, a second pair of eyes and, you know, telling me what needs to be there, what doesn't need to be there, and what could be stronger, what could be, what needs more, what's missing, you know, some new parts. So he's been really helpful, and I can really tell there's going to be a big jump in the just quality and the, you know, how tight and put together the songs are going to be for the next EP.
Where will you be recording this?
Well, right now, we're going to be, I think with COVID and just for sort of a budgetary purpose, we're going to be recording it in our basements and our homes. Okay. Different members of After Funk will be helping out and recording on it for parts. So it'll be sort of a, you know, group project that keep it safe. You know, a lot of us are able to set up recording stuff at home. I spent most of yesterday just editing recordings, demo vocals for one of the songs in my house and sending it off to him. So it's sort of a home project, but we'll be, we have looked into some studios for drums. We haven't decided yet, though.
Okay. And so when you're assembling all these different tracks, what sort of, you must be using software. I can't imagine you're still splicing tape.
Yeah. Oh, it's all online. Yeah. It's all digital with digital audio workstations. So Pro Tools, Logic, that kind of thing.
Okay.
So we put it all together.
Okay. Yeah. One of these days, we need to get somebody to come into the studio here and explain how all that stuff works. Because I'm quite sure there's other people out there listening to the radio that might want to do some of the recording on their own as well. Can't afford professional studios, but some of this stuff is available at a fraction of the cost.
Oh, yeah, absolutely a fraction. It's more attainable and accessible than ever, especially if you're mainly going to be using, if you're going to hire somebody for beats or just have a backing track. Or even just simple acoustic stuff, it's really manageable to do on your own. You get some really professional quality stuff. It's when you get into the seven-person band stuff like Tobacco, where studios and stuff like that kind of gets more involved. It's a little bit more challenging.
Just getting set up, just coordinating everybody to get into the studio is going to take a good chunk of studio time, and it all has to be paid for.
Yeah. So it's definitely going to be a big cost-saving measure, having a lot of us do many of the parts from home with our own interfaces, which is where we get our signals from our instruments into the computers, and using our own software and then putting it all together.
Yeah.
So, and then the other project we're doing, we may be filming some headshots and maybe helping a student out with his project on how bands are dealing with COVID. We're just figuring that out now, but we'll be hopefully in the next. In the past, next month, we'll have it filmed or whatnot.
COVID, the musical documentary.
Yeah, just he wants to do a little segment, interview the band about how we're dealing with COVID as mainly a live act that was hoping to tour a lot. So he's going to come into one of our rehearsals, which we were still fortunate enough to be able to do. We missed rehearsals for a few months there when we were fully locked down. So it was really nice to get back together back in the summer once.
I do hope we don't get back to that. Yeah, I hope that all the severe lockdown stuff is beyond us. But it's winter is coming, and things may actually get worse before they get better. So it's a good thing that you've got this thing on the go. I'm sure that the producer of that has just a wealth of material to draw from. There's every band that I've spoken to since March really has suffered from the pandemic lockdown.
Yeah, there's definitely, I feel like the songs are really strong. I've been able to weed out a lot of the weaker ideas and sort of highlight and pull up front the stronger, more catchy stuff. So it should hopefully, take some lemons and turn into lemonade, as the cliche goes.
Yeah. It's just that extra time to work on stuff is really useful. Have you found that COVID itself is working its way into the theme of your lyrics?
A little bit. I have a song sort of about the, it can just feel sometimes that we're not going out and doing as many things, that you're kind of stuck in a loop and a grind more so than ever. So there's a song I'm calling Loop, which is sort of about how we're constantly, you wake up in the same house, stuck in doing the same thing over and over again because of COVID.
Yeah. Don't know how you can really translate that into funk. As, funk, the other meaning there is, the broody, moody type of atmosphere. So perhaps that's a kind of funk that we weren't really thinking about.
It is actually one of the funkier songs that song's about. So it's definitely a good fit for the two, just kind of a moody, kind of dancey vibe.
Yeah.
Just losing your mind a little bit, stuck in your house all day.
Exactly. Denny, I want to thank you an awful lot for being with me for an hour here on CKMS Community Connections. And wish you well. I really hope you come here to Waterloo to do some touring, because I would love to come to a live show, a high-energy funk show here in Waterloo.
I would love to come too. I can't wait till that is a possibility. We can definitely would love to come by the station and maybe play some songs, stripped down, acoustic or something.
Yeah, even just acoustic funk would be excellent.
Yeah, it's doable. We did it for Lights Out, so I can see us not overpowering your studio with high voltage rock. So, but thanks so much for having us. Really appreciate every opportunity to spread the word and be on a local station. Yeah. Really feel the local audiences.
Yeah. Thanks, Denny. Denny Kopp from Tamaco. In a crazy way. You've been listening to CKMS Community Connections. My name is Bob Jonkman. Executive producer is Jennifer Strong. Associate producers are Jeff Steger, Dylan Bravener, and Jordan Dorans, who you can hear again on the Saturday edition at noon. Don't forget to go to radiowaterloo.ca/give. Provide us some funds to keep Radio Waterloo on the air. See you again next week.